little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
So we can really start the scenario with the doctor giving the opinion.
Yeah.
And then, I'll tell you one thing I did miss. Possibly would have been helpful to put it in exactly the right place, but here, okay. Some patients don't want any explanation.
Yeah. So do you want me to print off a leaflet? No, not really.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. No, exactly. Well, here's the thing. You know, you could say, would you like me to explain anything, Mr. Smith? No thanks, Doc. Do you think it'll settle down? Yeah, I expect so. Well, you don't usually let me down. I'm away. That is a perfectly acceptable way to end many primary care encounters. It's a relative, you know, not every patient does, but was a great... So probably would recommend the rehearsal might go something like, okay, Mr. Smith, so this, you know, now that I've, you know, thanks for telling me that and I've had a chance to check you over, so in my opinion, it's a case of X. Okay, Doc, would you like me to explain anything about that? Well, yeah, I think so. So let's, obviously in the role, let's have the patient saying yes. And then you can kind of bridge into the, well, I'll tell you what, before I lecture you, help me out a bit here. Do you want to, you know, is it something you've heard a bit about? Yeah, I know this and this and I've learned this, so it's wrong. Okay, that's interesting. And, you know, when we talk, is there some area you particularly like me to focus on? And, you know, are there any specific questions you've got for me? Okay, and you can always add to all this, but let me see, I'll make a start with all that then, yeah? It's, you know, I mean, I'm caricaturing it and it's a bit of a reduced Shakespeare version, something like that.
So you're quite happy to play the doctor in that scenario for the first one, or did you want...
No, I'm what I wanted to...
We've got the patient,
yeah.
So...
One of the registrars, yeah. Someone who fancies having a go at this,
yeah.
Play the doctor, and I can demonstrate an extra specific thing, which I think right. There's something in my mind that will be best, most time efficient for me to just demonstrate as a follow-up.
Okay.
It's not a tweak on this that will bridge on it.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So Iram very kindly has volunteered.
Well done.
And you've already got quite a long way through this consultation.
Yeah.
And we're now coming to the potential for explaining.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what do we know?
My back's been... My back's gone, and it's been ages. I've had sciatica and things for like a long time now.
So you've got a representation of sciatica, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what you found on examination is that the straight leg raising is restricted. He's got no loss of power, no weakness, but he's able to raise one leg to 60 mm-hmm. degrees, say.
Mm-hmm.
He's well in himself. Got quite a lot of spasm. He's in significant pain with it,
okay.
and
ruled out sort of red flags.
And you ruled out red flags, and this chap drives 50,000 miles a year, and really needs some time off work.
Okay.
And he's a bit poorly.
Okay.
Yes. So
okay.
Generously proportioned.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I just start as if I'm in the middle of the consultation.
Yes, I think I've got a very that because we do exercises along these lines quite
mm-hmm.
a bit. It usually works best if the roles start. Imagine you've just sort of finished examining him and you settled down after the examination and you can literally say, okay, you know, from what you told me and from what I've found, here's my opinion.
Okay.
Would you like me to explain anything?
Right. Okay.
Yes, I would. But before I start, help me with this initial illicit business. Yeah.
All right.
Not
okay.
in that language, but...
Okay.
Are you happy to give that a go?
Yeah, absolutely.
Use the story. If you're struggling, put your hand up and we
What's
can...
What's your name in there?
James.
Right, James, so...
Hi.
Yeah, so after examining you, I think I've got a little bit of an idea of what's going on. I do think that this is your sciatica, and I understand that you'd had this previously as well.
Yeah.
What I find sometimes might be helpful is to find out a little bit about what you know about sciatica and then see if there's anything that I could add to that.
Well, okay, I mean...
Would that be okay if
my...
I ask you a few questions? What do you know about...
I had a discectomy years ago, and I remember the surgeon talking about these cushiony sort of... These bones and nerves coming off out of them, and sometimes those nerves can get pinched.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, I guess, what's going on. I mean, I know my back's, you know, not great.
Yeah. So, yeah, you do have a fair idea of what's going on, and, that's a reasonable sort of way of explaining it. Would you like me to focus on any specific areas about that? Is there anything that I could kind of add? Or are there any specific questions?
Well, actually,
I'll
tell you what, I do have one question, because every time I come in with a sore back, you all ask the same question,
if I've become constipated or if I'm suddenly incontinent.
Sure. And it probably seems a bit alarming if it's
every
not been
time,
explained to you why.
It's so irrelevant. Yeah. I just don't.
Okay.
I just want the tramadol.
Okay, no, I understand completely where you're coming from. Hopefully I should be able to shed some light on that. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about sciatica, maybe show you a diagram? Would that be helpful, or am I already covering ground that you already know?
Well, yeah, no, just why you keep harping on about me bladder.
Okay, absolutely, yeah, that's fine, you can do that. But the reason that we ask that is because whenever somebody comes in with a problem like back pain that's suddenly come on, we need to make sure that there aren't any serious underlying problems that could need urgent treatment the very same day. So what I mean by that is, for example, if the spinal cord is being compressed, that could be an emergency that needs treating straight away. And one of the ways that might show itself is if you suddenly lose control of your bowels or your bladder. And that's the reason why we always ask it. It's really a screening question, just to make absolutely sure that we don't need to urgently rush you off to hospital. And once we're happy that that isn't the case, we can then go on and look more at what we can do for you today in terms of managing your pain. So that's why we generally ask. Does that make sense? Acceptable?
Yeah, okay.
You look a little bit unsure.
No, so I can concentrate on the tramadol. Right, okay, yeah, fair enough.
If you wouldn't mind, I mean, just to make sure that I've explained it properly, would you mind just explaining it back to me?
So, yeah, okay, so when my bladder goes wrong, that might be a sign that actually it's my back that's going really wrong.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. So if you were to suddenly lose control of the bowels or the bladder, or lose the sensation around your back passage when you're wiping, any of those things, they would constitute an emergency. So that's something that we'd need to get you sent off to hospital very soon if that was to happen. So that's why we ask those questions. Yeah. Because sometimes what can happen is, as you mentioned earlier, the way that the surgeon had explained it to you, that there are bones and there are cushiony discs in between. If one of those was to move too far and put pressure on the spinal cord, that could then impact on the bowels and the bladder. That's why we ask those questions.
All right, fair enough.
Okay.
About that tramadol then?
Yeah.
Is he going to be allowed tramadol?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
And he doesn't misuse it, and he's not too often.
Well, I think, I mean, you did the point, you did the illicit by the missus, didn't you? Yeah. I think. Well done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So doing this in this situation is actually more difficult than the CSA exam itself. But the skills that you've exhibited in doing that, you've very clearly gone through that, and right at the very end, with his reaction, he said, yeah, I've got that. You checked again. You did teach back, and you asked it. I think a lot of registrars are quite reluctant when they go for the exam to... So what will you tell your wife when you go home? That sort of question seems a little bit clunky and artificial, but the way that you've asked that was very effective, wasn't it?
Well, I think, having observed this a lot, although, you know, this level of knowledge has come to me since I quit my own clinical, you know, finished my own clinical practice.
Mm-hmm.
If your provide is aimed at something the patient's asked for, it makes it easier to say, you know, did I do a good job there?
Yeah.
And elicit the teach back.
Yeah.
I think it just seems more sensible.
Mm.
You asked me the question, how did I do? Tell me what you've learned.
Yeah.
Instead of this sort of, what would you tell your wife? And the problem with that, what would you tell your husband or wife thing, is that unfortunately the examiners have heard it all before, and it's not going to fail you, the CSA. But, you know, it is clearly a device, and unless someone says, oh, you know, my wife sent me doctor, then that's the one and only situation where it's utterly justified. Right, and what are you going to tell your wife? But if you're using it, so it's much better than nothing. If it's the only way you can elicit teach back, do it. I mean, because eliciting teach back is the key thing, and how you get there in a way doesn't really matter. And the fact that the examiners have, you know, they're getting paid enough so they can listen to it 40 times, it doesn't matter. But in reality, if you can actually say, what have you learned, that is more powerful.
Okay.
And you did do that.
Mm.
Were you conscious? Because it seemed to me
it was really helpful
everything.
To have that structure, because I think that's sort of where I struggle with it. I don't normally follow that pattern, so it was really helpful to have that broken down and to ask about is there any specific area you want me to focus on or any specific questions, that's probably not something that I've done before. I think usually it's just, oh, what do you know about? And then would you like me to explain? And then I go into it. But
well, and I think that's the problem is that would you like me to explain? They don't often say no. And then, unfortunately, you're down to your standard mini lecture. Well, not unfortunately, but the risk then is that you simply do deliver your standard unnuanced mini lecture.
Yeah.
And with this, you can see how if you do the initial elicit, you've got permission to do less, better, haven't you?
Yeah.
Typically.
It's good for the exam as well, because you can just kind of waste time, your own time, just by explaining something that a patient didn't want to know anyway. You're actually not gaining any points at all from doing that. So I think that's really, really, really useful.
Yeah, is it? So the actors will have some, if you do the initial elicit and there's anything in the actor's script that's relevant, it will emerge, won't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as it does with real patients, you know, the I mean, this model comes from analysing. And, okay.
I think the thing that I find really hard is consciously being aware that jargon's popping into my head and I'm translating from jargon to non-jargon, and that's probably where I get a little bit sort of caught up a little bit. I find that difficult, so it's just practicing that.
You're probably catching yourself doing it in your own surgeries as much as anything else. So that if overwhelmingly your trainer's got the impression that it's okay to drop one or two words in the CSA, that's absolutely fine, don't worry over much about it. But if, as a majority statement, you're trying to simplify it to pitch things at the patient, but you're answering their questions in the way that suits them, and you're checking that that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And how did you check exactly? Because in the middle of it, I didn't catch the particular phrase that you used, but I'm still hit pose to write down what you said to get the teacher back.
Would you mind explaining it back to me or something like that? I forget myself what exactly I said.
Don't worry too much because I've got it recorded.
Okay.
Oh, good point. Something that Keith just... Can I just test this out with you?
Sure.
There's an insight. Something that Keith triggered for me just now. I was wondering whether doing a bit more on the initial elicit allows you to get a sense of the patient, you know, for the, you know, using technical language.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the patient asks questions and so on might give you a bit of a diagnosis of how much of a technical understanding he or she already has, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, it seems, yeah.
So like you mentioned how the surgeon had explained to him previously about there being cushiony bits in between the bones.
Yes,
So that gave me a bit of a sense of...
No, that's good, I'd forgotten that. Yeah, so that thought's got some mileage, has it? That letting the patient tell you a bit of something initially gives you a bit of an idea in relation to jargon.
Let's hear it for our GP. Skills improving, risk removing, no confusing.